Good morning, welcome. Let's stand for the truth. Gretchen said, well, we don't have to do everything like we always do on Sunday morning, but this is one thing I definitely want to do, to continue this tradition that we have for standing for the truth. Mm-hmm. So, this is Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You ready for this one? Here we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your this day that is before us. Spring is springing out there, Lord God. We know life is all around us, Lord God, and you birth that life in our hearts, and you give us a new creature. We thank you, Jesus, for our salvation. We thank you, Lord God, that we're here to celebrate the name of Jesus. We're here to celebrate your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection, Lord God, your gospel, Lord. It's powerful. It sustains us. It's our very food, Lord God. Help us to celebrate in the fullness of our heart, Lord God, setting aside everything, all the cares of the world. Just set it aside just for a moment. Just for a moment. Set everything aside and focus on Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we thank you that you are here with us, Lord. There is nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your
continue to worship the Lord by sharing with each other, strengthening each other. That's the reason why we gather, whether it's in this mode or physically together in a building. The reason we gather together is a word called koinonia. It's when the bride becomes one. We share with each other our burdens. We share with each other things of praise and testimony. We share concerns. We speak prophetically. We allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. Words of wisdom. I've seen it happen where one person mentions a prayer, another word of wisdom comes, a prophetic word, and you just see the body working. So it's important one way or another that we do get together. Let's do that now. You can share in the comments.
Tina says, ready for the mighty move and outpouring of the Holy Spirit with you, brothers and sisters.
So if there's kids that are watching this morning, if you didn't get the message, you want to find something red, because we're going to interject a children's message in here in a little bit. So I've got a little red phone here, and a red mitten. So you can find something red while we're sharing at this time.
Mark says, do you want to open to Isaiah 35, 8 through 10? I have to grab my glasses.
Mark, just say it really loud. do you have a blowhorn?
Asher is thankful for GGPD that she got to go home.
Amen.
On her birthday. That's so exciting. Thanks, Asher. Another one in Isaiah, Tina. So we'll start with 35. Da, da, da. Isaiah 35, 8 through 10. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Amen. Powerful.
All right, 58. Tina has Isaiah 58:11. I'm going to read what she put, her version. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Mm. Love it. Definitely.
Yep, that's right on the message today. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Yeah, if you have children watching and they want to grab something red, a red item, could be a toy or any kind of red thing, use your imagination. But we're going to get into the message here pretty quick.
Okay.
And that'll be interjected in part of the regular message. We're going to do a children's message here.
Oh, I see.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. I got good notes from you guys this morning, whole page. All right, we could turn to Psalm 143. Today's title for Psalm 143 and 144, they both are given a title in the Bible, a Psalm of David. My own title for the sermon coming out of this scripture is Praying, Serving, and the Blood, hence the red items that we're gathering today. Praying, Serving, and the Blood. Verse 1 begins right there in Psalm 143, talking about prayer. David singing, but also praying. I like how Gretchen talks worship. A lot of times what we just did, and you know, our experience there is praying in song. It's communicating with God, reaching up unto the Lord, our eyes being directed off the things of earth unto heaven. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Psalm 143, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and answer me in your faithfulness. So believing and waiting for that answer of prayer. Prayer is something we want to develop in our children, and that's going to be the children's message. We're going to stop right here and move into that right now and talk about prayer. That God wants us to be a people of prayer, whether we're little, we're just getting our words, or we're 120. God wants us to be a people of prayer. If you do have a red item, this is the time that you can put in the comments what it is. All right, everybody. This is for everybody, including the children as well. So the parents can't run away and go play somewhere. You need to listen to this. This is for all of us. We need to be people of prayer. Mm-hmm. Paul would talk about a prayer that's unceasing. And I first thought of that. How can you pray? Just keep praying all day long. You wake up in the morning and you pray. Go ahead.
Mom's holding a red flannel nightgown.
Red, way to go.
That's awesome.
Red flannel nightgown.
That's awesome.
Wake up in the morning, we should be praying and praying throughout the day. One of the things that helps me to remember prayer is that the Holy Spirit that God gives us His Holy Spirit inside of us. The Spirit is always making prayer inside of us. So we need just to join that meeting, just like you all joined this Facebook, whatever, live meeting today. We need to join in the prayer meeting that's already taking place inside of us. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. It talks about in Romans with groans and all sorts of things that we might not even understand. Sometimes we do understand what's happening there. In fact, this happens to me quite often. I'll be at work and I've got my mind at work and I'm buried in the work. And then I go out to break and I've still got all this stuff buzzing in my head about work. And I'll hear something and it's coming from inside of me. It's a song, typically. It's a song or even a word that's being impressed upon me. But it's not what I was thinking about. The Holy Spirit's already inside of me starting the prayer meeting. I need to just join into it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's so cool. I'm thinking about something else, and there's the Holy Spirit inside of me that's already working. And so I just forget about those things. I need to take a break. That's the idea of a break. And I need to join in with the Holy Spirit and start communicating with God. Start singing. Start praying. Let my thoughts go unto heaven and to the Lord. Start just saying, I love you, Lord. All of those are good things. Let's say that together. Is everybody ready? I love you, Lord. What a simple prayer. What a way to start prayer sometimes, too. I love you, Lord.
Ellie has a book, a red book.
Way to go, Ellie. Great job. Mm-hmm.
Joan said that she found a painting that Mindy did for Grandma and Grandpa with a red tree that she painted. A red tree.
Wow.
Yeah.
That works. Very creative.
Mm-hmm. I love you, Lord. Hi, Linda Fenn. Thanks for joining us.
All right, we have our red objects. And that's going to help us learn these prayers from a long, long time ago. There's two prayers we're going to look at from when our country was really, 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 really tiny, small baby. Even before the Declaration of Independence and before Betsy Ross sewed the flag, our American flag with stars and stripes, even before she did that, this was a prayer of little, tiny, baby America. Everybody say, baby America.
Baby America. America.
All right.
Asher has a red ball.
Way to go. So this was before there were cars. If you were to go to church, you would get on a horse, or your family would get on a wagon that was pulled by a horse. There were no cell phones.
No red fire trucks like Nathan has. Anita's grandson, Nathan.
Oh, he brought it. Way to go, Nathan. Good to have you here. There were no phones. There were just very simple things. There were fields and people still. But people still needed Jesus just as much as we need him today. Mm-hmm. The Lord hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's our Savior. Yesterday, a long time ago, today and tomorrow, Jesus will still be there for us and our Savior. So this little booklet that I'm reading from is called the New England Primer, and this is what baby America kids would be looking at. After they got off their horse and their wagon, they went into their little church. There would be these in the schoolroom churches. It's called the New England Primer. There would be Bibles. And this primer is to help them learn the Bible. And it has prayers in it, and it has words. It has the alphabet. A is for Adam. Z is for Zacchaeus. All of that teaching us words, letters, so we can read the Word of God. This prayer we're going to talk about to you are an evening prayer when you go to bed. How many people pray before they go to bed?
I do.
Do you pray before you go to bed, Asher? Nathan, do you? Do you pray when you're all by yourself before you go to bed, Eliana? Isaac? If you're not climbing up the cupboards? Let's take a look at it. O Lord, who knows all things, thou sees me by night and as well as by day. God sees us all the time. He has a watchful eye over us. In fact, he even guides us with his eye. If he wants us to go this way, he can look that way. He even guides us and directs us with his eye. That's how cool God is. I pray thee for Christ's sake, Jesus Christ, forgive me whatever I have done amiss this day, and keep me all this night while I sleep. Forgive me, Lord God, for the things that I did wrong this day, when I pulled my sister's hair, or I pulled my brother's hair, or I took that toy away. God, forgive me. What a great way to end the day. But even during the day, we want to ask forgiveness from each other. The last sentence of this prayer is, I desire to lie down under your care, God. You're not only lying down in a bed. Think of it as the hand of God. I love to just imagine things all the time. I love being a kid, and when I was your age, I could take a little tiny toy, whatever it was, and I could just play with it for a long, long time because I had such a great imagination. And I enjoy that at this time. And one of the things you can do when you go to bed is think about God's hand and your bed becoming God's hand. And you're just lying down in the comfort and strength, how strong God is, that he's going to protect you during the night. God is strong and he loves you. It's comfortable. He's got a comfy hand. I desire to lie down under thy care and to abide forever, to live forever under thy blessing. You've got God's hand below you. You're comfortable on. You're sleeping. And you've got God's hand above you, blessing you while you sleep. Nothing to be afraid of when that's happening. For thou art a God of all power and everlasting mercy. Amen. When we talk about mercy, everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
When we talk about forgiveness, everybody say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
We're talking about the blood of Christ. That's why we got these red objects today. In everything that we do, not just when we go to bed at night, we want to be praying for the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God throughout the whole day. Whether I'm on the phone talking to somebody, the blood of Jesus is all over me. That means I'm able to forgive those others and I'm able to be forgiven. Whether I'm playing or exercising, I suppose this is more of an exercise here. A jump rope or a stretchy thing. If I'm exercising, the blood of Jesus, I should be in prayer, not just at nighttime or the morning. If I'm exercising and working, I should be thinking and saying, I love you, God. Mm-hmm. And it's the blood of Jesus that makes this possible. That's why the red. Think of the red. When we have communion at church, do you remember that? What's the color of the juice? It's purple, it's red, it's the color of blood. It's the color of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross when he died for you and me. That means anything that we've ever done wrong or will do, that he's clean, he's made clean with his blood. So whenever we're talking on the phone or we're exercising or we're playing music, think about the blood covering all of those things that we have and just say, I love you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Make your prayer all the time in everything that you do. Amen. So that was our kids' message today. I didn't cover the second prayer, but I will in the future. I felt that was enough for now. So let's continue in our Psalms today. Psalm 143 begins with the idea of prayer. And we're going to parallel this to the Lord's Prayer. And it's really the Lord's Prayer teaching us how to pray. And that's in Matthew 6. It's also in Luke. But we're going to look at Matthew 6. Everybody say hi to the train.
Hi, train.
Even on Sundays. Bring in all those goodies we need, right? The disciples actually asked Jesus, they asked him a lot of questions, like big questions and little questions. Who's the greatest? And all of these questions that they would ask. This was a really cool question. I think they really scored a good one. They had a good day here. They said, God, teach us. Lord, teach us how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Jesus would say. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means even the name of God is powerful. It's holy. It's majestic. It's like, wow. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's a connection between earth and heaven. The will of God is not just in heaven. It's being done on this earth too. We need to realize that all the time. God's will is being done in heaven and in earth all the time. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts or our sins, our wrongs. As we forgive our debtors, the people that have hurt us, the people that have been nasty to us, that have hurt us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen. This Psalm 143 parallels that particular passage of Jesus teaching us how to pray. He just got done, actually, before he said that, about don't pray in repetition. Don't just repeat prayers. Because what happens when you do that is your heart starts to grow cold and it just becomes words. So we want to repeat prayer only to learn how we should pray. In that our prayer should stretch out a little bit past what it was yesterday. It should grow a little bit bigger. Maybe yesterday I just was like, God help us, thank you for the food. Maybe today it's going to reach out a little bit and I'm going to pray for somebody specifically. I'm going to think of my aunt, or I'm going to think of my mom, or I'm going to think of my brother or sister. And our prayer should always be growing. It should be something that keeps growing bigger and bigger in our life, our prayer life. So listen to these parallels that we have in David's prayer in Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, the desire for God, the addressing God, right there parallels to our Father who art in heaven. You're addressing God. You're not just starting to talk to a tree. You're not just blurting words out. You're addressing the living God who created us. Hear my prayer, Lord. Give ear to my supplications, the things that I need. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. This parallels to that beginning entrance of just talking, God, you are holy. Addressing him as Lord. Saying the name of Jesus. Verse 2, all parallels perfectly. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. God, be merciful to me, forgive me. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. Speaking to David's talking about himself. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. David recognizes that there is nothing that we can do, no matter how good we do it. It's still not good enough. We need the champion of good. We need the one that is perfect to give his goodness to us. And that happened. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's finished. It's done. But it's very much as it alive today as it was 2,000 years ago. The words of Jesus on the cross, "It is done," is alive today, and real today. The prayer of David is answered for all of us. God, don't enter into judgment. Don't look at my wrongdoing. Forgive me, Lord God. Your mercy, Lord Jesus, your blood is what I need right now at this time. In the Lord's Prayer, he would add something very important to us. In fact, this is the center of him teaching us the prayer, how to pray. Because at the end of it, he says, therefore, if you don't forgive those who hurt you and do wrong against you, neither will your Father forgive you. So there's something happening here we need to understand. That the blood of Christ, that the love of God that was shed for us, we love. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is great. God loves me. He knows all the hairs on my head. The thoughts of God towards me are like the sand of the sea. This is too much for me. I can't attain to it. This is too high for me. God, shut off the valve. I'm going to melt. If you get, you know, just the love of God is overwhelming to us. But listen, if it stops right there, it corrupts. If it stops right there, we become the Dead Sea. The love of God and the mercy of God, that blood, that red flow needs to happen from heaven through us. It's a flow. It's a flow. Jesus teaching us the prayer, that should just grab a hold of us. It did me. It was like, listen to this. Therefore, if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven. What is he telling us? That the love of God needs to flow through us unto other people. We need to have that love flow through us, or else it stagnates and it corrupts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. That's the grace flow in the central theme of our prayer. A great test of prayer, if you have this stagnation happening, is to start praying for individuals that are around you. You're going to start praying for your friends and your family. And all of a sudden you'll be like, woof. You go to that person in prayer, then it's all of a sudden there's a 10-foot wall. Well, where'd that come from? There's unforgiveness there. I didn't know it was there. Right. The prayer is revealing it. That's why we're to pray unceasingly. It's very important to keep our pipes clean, to keep that flow going from heaven. Terry shared about the water that doesn't cease. I think it was her. The water that Tina did. The water that fails not, from Isaiah 58. The water that fails not. It's a living water, Jesus would describe to the woman at the well. It's a living water that keeps flowing. It's a torrent that keeps flowing. The forgiveness of God needs to be a flow in our life. It needs to be a flow in our life. How does that happen? Pray non-ceasingly. You see a person, the person's image comes in your mind, even if they're not near you. Pray for them. Pray unceasingly. We need to become people of prayer. Yeah. This is something that has been lacking. And if you ask somebody, a Christian, what's lacking in your life, what's the first thing they say? Prayer. It's not the easy thing to do. But if we develop it, it'll become easier. It'll become more of our nature as we give over to that and we yield to this walking in the Spirit. Verse 3, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. Now we're going to get into the element of delivering us from evil. Verses 3 through 4. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. Just pounded me down. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. It's like I've been smashed to the ground. I feel like this. You know, you go through these times where you feel like this. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. But in that valley of the shadow of death, folks, this is where we grow. This is the place where we grow. We like the mountaintop experiences. I do too. But where we grow is in the valley. That's where it happens. The enemy has persecuted my soul. You might be feeling it now. You might be feeling whatever because of separation from family. It's starting to hurt. I'm feeling it. I'm Mr. Mountain Man, lonely guy, live under a bridge and be happy. And I'm feeling it. And it's hard. It's hard not to embrace. It's hard not to, embrace my grandchildren and all of that's going on. But that's the right thing to do now. It's difficult. It's a challenge. These are the valleys of the shadow. They're dark places. And it talks about being long dead, here. It just feels like it's been too long for these things. So these are familiar experiences for all of us, everyone, all of us. The prayer is to deliver us, God, from these places. Terry shared about the idols in our life, the cleansing of idols. She read from, I didn't write the scripture one down, but the removal of idols and the refreshment and the restoration afterwards. That has very much to do with this time and process where God would allow us to go through a period of darkness. And it's indiscriminate. It's like a whole nation, a whole globe can go through this process. But in that process, he's looking for the ones whose eyes and heart is tuned to him. The rain falls on the good and the evil, it says in the scripture. So just because you're in the valley of the shadow doesn't mean you're not a loved child of God. It means you're a loved child of God. It does mean you're a loved child of God. So look to him, pray to him, call out to him. This is the time in your prayer that you got, God, search me. If there's any unclean thing in my life, remove it from me. If there's something you want me to fast from, is it a cell phone? Not right now. Is it something of TV and programming and comedy? What are you leaning on right now during this hard time? What are you going to? Is it food? Is it entertainment? Is it comedy? Is it, I need to get to my funny, I need to go tune into something funny on YouTube to have my spirits lifted. Not that there's something wrong with that, but if it's what you go to when God wants something better for you and wants you to be growing in this experience, he might not want you to be hanging on to toys. He might not want you to be hanging on to something that's not going to really bear fruit. He doesn't want you just to get through. He wants you to grow in this process. Pray. Fast. Worship. 50 days God has put on my heart to prepare the church to be worshipers in truth and spirit. I can't play a tune. I've got a bucket. I could carry one. But I can't play one. And so if I'm singing, my self-conscious, I make sure I'm 50 decibels below Gretchen. Sometimes I get, I go off anyway. Worship. Not just song, but 50 facets of worship at least we're going to be covering over these 50 days. Prayer is a type of worship. It's a submission to God and communication with him in a time we'd rather reach for comedy. You'd rather reach for the macaroni and cheese to get that comfort, to get you through the day, to get you through the fear that you're feeling. Don't do it. You're getting robbed. You think you're benefiting yourself. You think you're taking care of yourself, but you're robbing yourself. Rather be robed. Robed. The spelling is just very close. Don't be robbed. Be robed by Jesus Christ. Look for the things that are going to grow you during this time. Please. Because when you come through it and the celebration happening, then it's the growth time is done. And it's just joy and celebration and fun. That's great. That's the mountaintop. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to embracing. Again, now we're in a time of refraining from embracing. As the Ecclesiastes talk about, there's seasons that we go through. This is a season to grow. Don't be robbed during this time. Don't be cheated by something that is shallow. Resist those things. Develop a worship life, a prayer life, a life of fasting. Shake the idols away. Last Sunday we talked about an idol of fornication. We're not going to get into that. If you missed it, bring that one back up. The pornography, all the stuff that plagues our young people, it plagues our families, it breaks households and homes. If that's what it is, the blood of Jesus will break it. That's where true freedom is. You're being robbed if you're choosing to go to that. That's a cheap imitation. There's not even words to describe how cheap it is compared to the richness of God's faithful love for you. Reach for the blood of Christ. Everything that we do, we should be surrounded. Whether we're exercising, we're on the phone, we're at rest, we're waking. The blood of Christ. Verse 5, thy will be done. Verse 5 of Psalm 143 says, I will remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. Muse means think about. You're meditating on those things. You have that mindfulness, thoughtfulness on the word of God. Psalm 1 begins with that. Those that are meditating, their thoughts are occupied by the things of God, not the things of the world. The promise there is like you're a tree planted by water. You will bear fruit in season. Not maybe the first day. Seasonal fruit. The first fruit you experience in your forgiveness with God is what? Let me hear it. It's peace. The war is over. You don't have to prove anything to anybody anymore, especially God. There's peace between you and God. You're adopted in the beloved. You don't have to prove anything to anybody else. You're a child of God. You have your identity. You don't need to pull it from the world. Hey, give me 10 likes and 10 of them happy faces. You don't need that. It's icing on the cake. It's great, but you don't need that. You've been established. The works of God. I think about these things. I think about Jesus coming down from heaven, from glory. I don't understand how that could even happen. That he would lower himself from a perfect communion with the Father in the Spirit. A perfect relationship. God is love, not because he's just loving. He's love because that is what he is. That's his very substance. Love always implies a relationship. The relationship of God. God exists in Father, Son, and Spirit. That's the love that's unbreakable, that's perfect. So perfect that if you were to describe God in any other fashion other than the number one, you would be in error. You would be inaccurate. His love is so perfect, so beautiful. So pure and holy that this relationship he exists in of Father, Son, and Spirit is described as one. One. And Jesus, as he was going to the cross, he talks about this oneness, getting back into this oneness with the Father, returning to this glory again. He did it perfectly as a man on this earth, and now he's going to return to that glory he had with the Father in perfect communion and union with him. And he said, by the way, Father, I pray this for everyone else down here, that they would have this oneness, this love for each other, this unity. We pray for each other. We esteem each other higher than ourselves by praying. I'm not going to pray for my needs right now. I'm going to set aside my needs. I'm going to pray for this individual. Watch what happens. Watch what happens when you do that. You're getting robed when you do that, not robbed. You're getting robed by the things of God. You're going to grow through these things. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thy will be done. The works of God, the cross. I think about these things. Him coming as a baby to earth, that little infant baby. My experience of coming to know the Lord was fourth grade. Fourth grade, it came to my rebirth in the Lord. Jesus says, you must become born again. It doesn't matter if you're young now or you're older. You can become born again today. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for a particular time. For me, it was in fourth grade, and it was on Christmas Eve. And I was thinking about this verse 5 here. I was thinking about what Jesus did, just thinking about it. It was nighttime. I was by myself laying in bed, and the street light was coming in through the window. The snow was falling gently. No music, nothing, just a young little boy there, thinking about Mary giving birth, thinking about the Savior. Tears started flowing out of soaking my pillow. I was brought to a place. I was brought there. It's very much real. The gospel is alive. It's not an old story. It's a new story. It's fresh. It's fresh for us today. Choose to be born again today. Say, Jesus, I believe that you were sent to this earth to save me, to forgive me, to wash me. Lord God, I love you. Thank you for doing that. Come into my life, Lord God. Come into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I think about the works of thy hands. In the process of this crushing that's being discussed about, this crushing and this difficulty, our clay, what has been stiff and hard and not pliable, God is making pliable. That is why it's necessary to go through the valley, because we become hardened, we become like concrete. If you live around here and you try to put a garden in, you better have a double steel shovel, because it's clay. It's really hard soil. God wants our soil to be workable. Mm-hmm. So these times allow that soil to be workable. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. There is a lot more to talk about prayer, and I think I better cut it. I don't know how long I've been going. No concept here. I feel like it's a good time. Maybe split this and bring this topic up next week and complete 143 into 144. Talk about the daily bread, the deliverance of God, the Gethsemane experience. Folks, we need to have a Gethsemane experience here. So I'm excited about that. The power, the kingdom, and the glory. Gretchen's going to give you a taste of that in this last song that we're going to do. She just started working on it yesterday. It's a song that I shared on Facebook as well. Shane and Shane do it, but they didn't write the song. But it has a lot to do with the power of God, training our hands for war. And the war takes of this shape, of praise, of prayer, of fasting, denying the power and the kingdom of glory. The topic next week, Lord God, we look forward to that. But through this whole week, Lord Jesus Christ, cause us to be mindful of the things that you've done. Cause us to be reborn in the areas that have died and decayed and become hardened. Lord Jesus, allow this song to minister to us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, come behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear, and tells the wars to cease. Oh, mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots of fire. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire. Bows and calls and bows.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. There's coming a time where we as a church need to have our shelves stocked to the max. Not bare shelves, not knowing, you know, like not being an empty well. We need to be ready. This living water, this flowing water that doesn't give out, as was prophesied earlier, that is going to be the reality. Our lamps need to be filled. We need to be ready for this coming. This is a harvest. Many souls coming into the kingdom of God. I went through a revival back in 1980. It was a Catholic church revival that swept through at that time in Owego. And I'm a senior in high school, and I mean, everything changed. The normalcy, everything was out the window. It was the Spirit of God was flowing. People were prophesying, and stuff that never happened before in the church, where it was happening. There was such life and such greenness. People were coming in droves and to see that. And during my dad's funeral, it was over a year ago now, a man coming through the line. It was instrumental in that. In that revival, his name was Mr. Ross, and to me, he was Mr. Ross. Now he's Jim. He gave me a report. He's an engineer, so he's very methodical and to the facts. He gave me he shared a report. He has that available, and shared it with a lot of people of what that revival was all about. And one of the things that bewildered him was that there was one thing yet unfulfilled in that revival that God had promised, and he knew it was God, like black and white, like solid. And it bewildered him. And so reading through that, God had just opened the doors in that unfinished business, that that's going to continue, that God is going to fulfill that. It's an Amos 9 prophecy where the harvester is going to be bumping into the planter. It's going to get that busy. We need to have our shelves stocked full. The prayer, the worship, the fasting is going to bring resources into your life of Christ that are going to be the refreshment unto others. It's going to cause the growth and the revival through his people, repenting through his people, turning to him at this time. The revival is going to come. So praise God. We look forward to talking more about that next week. Enjoy the day and enjoy a little koinonia now. If you want to add some comments, we'll share a little bit of time together. Amen. This is where you usually hear a lot of background noise, and it's dead silent here. So that's an adjustment. More scripture, good.
Verses 40 and 41. Am I looking it up?
Who was that?
Mark.
Howdy, Mark and family. Colleen, God bless you.
Kelsey was in the room. I think she's
Kelsey
still here.
And Seth. Caleb, your new extended family.
Hey, I wonder if the shoemakers are watching long distance. We were last week. What am I thinking?
Lamentations 3, 40, verse 40 and 41.
Kelsey, we are all watching in Phelps. Hi, guys! Love you guys. So Mark's verse says, let us examine and probe our ways. And let us return to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We lift up our hearts and hands toward God in heaven. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Right on. Examine and return. Meditate. Think about these things. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is alive. You think, watch out. You start dwelling on that stuff. It's like a little boy playing with matches or something. You know, there's power there. Mm-hmm. This is what we're encouraged to do, though. This is mm-hmm. good. Start musing. Start thinking about things. Amusement is just the opposite, right? It's not thinking. It's allowing the programming on TV. It's allowing all that stuff and entertainment that we have. Amusement is not thinking. We want to be musers, thinkers. Mm-hmm. Muse on the Word of God. Watch the power come out of it. It's alive. It really is.
I was just thinking about, you know, you were talking about prayer, and this is good for kids to learn too, but not just the kids, all of us. If you're kind of finding yourself at a loss for what to pray, scripture is an amazing way to start. So I'm just going to kind of use Mark's references as an example. So let us examine and probe our ways. Let us return to the Lord. So if you're not there yet and you haven't done that and you're just kind of, you can start there and say, Lord, show me how to examine and probe our ways, mm-hmm. examine our hearts. God, I haven't thought about returning to you, Lord, but now is a great place to start. Father God, I lift up my heart and hands, and then actually do that. We lift them up to you, God. We thank you. And then it continues, we have transgressed, rebelled, not pardoned. Father God, forgive me, because I have transgressed. I have rebelled.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, you're not going to leave us in that place. So it can kind of be, the scripture can kind of be a springboard for your prayers.
Amen. Very good.
If you find yourself at a loss. Paul Pembroke, hi. Hi, Linda. Linda Guy, Paul Pembroke.
Amen. Blessings.
Yeah, if you guys are in a different state, we're in New York, obviously. I think we know everybody in the room. But if you're in a different state than New York, let us know where you're watching from, because that's kind of fun to see. So Maddie says, this was something that happened this week. Eliana playing hit me, and I responded with, or something. Eliana then said, oh my goodness, that's cute. Eliana then said, I'm sorry, to which I replied with, I forgive you. Asher then explained to Eliana, I'm sorry, that means you feel bad and that you're not going to do it again. Eliana then looked up at me and said, Dad, I'm not going to do it again. My kid's teaching me true repentance.
Amen.
That's awesome.
five and 3 years old, right?
Yeah.
Out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained praise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. We pray for all the kids. I think of Noah and Philip. I was so desiring for them to be part of today.
Yeah.
So my heart breaks for the ones that that are out there, God.
Yeah.
My heart really breaks for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Oh, of course, Mary and Jim are in North Carolina. Sorry. You two, Mary and Deb, you're practically neighbors. You aren't far from each other. I don't know if you've met yet. Dave's watching with Carol.
Hey, Dave. Praise God. Thank you. Blessings over Dave and Carol, their shop in Owego. Lord, during this time, restaurants, my son Tony as well, trying to make it do what they can during this time, Lord God. Hallelujah. We pray blessings, provision, creativity, ideas, Lord God, where they need it, wisdom. Amen.
Yeah.